Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried, and you're listening to the Cigar Tipsters Podcast. And thank God it's you listening, because I tried to listen. I heard about 2 seconds, and they totally sucked. I hope you're not listening for more than 2 seconds, because did I mention they totally suck?
This is the Cigar Tipsters Podcast.
All right. So, it is the Cigar Tipsters Podcast. It is August the 28th, 2022. I don't honestly remember the last time we did one of these. I think it was in 2021. Mm-hmm. So the rumors of our deaths were greatly exaggerated. But we're back, and we're going to talk about cigars and possibly other stuff, but probably just cigars, but we'll see how it goes. So it's been a long time. Junior's here, Senior's here, Jerry's here, Ben's here. How's everybody doing?
Hi.
I'm doing great. I was just here to bullshit. I didn't realize we was actually going to talk about cigars.
Well, I really should have started recording earlier when I told Ben that he should go take a bath with a toaster, but all the jokes can't make the show.
Yeah, Senior, you could just fake it. You'll be fine. You'll be good.
Just go with it.
So the agenda tonight was prepared by Ben. So if you hate it, that's BenBolero@gmail.com.
I would blame Mark. It's easier. Because he reviewed it and signed off on it. So technically speaking, it's Mark to blame. That's what I would do.
I was just a pawn in this game. I had no control.
You just work here.
I'm with you, Jerry.
Yeah, I just work here, right.
Jerry just works here. That's all he does.
Well, see, that's why this company works, because I blame Ben and Ben blames me and nothing ever gets fixed.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you're at the office and you have a comment box where they ask for your suggestions, but the moment you put your suggestion in the box, it shreds it.
It's just a little shredder. Like a paper shredder. Well, that's the end of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how this business works. But anyway, so the first topic of the night is and I've had a couple of people in the last year that I've introduced to cigars and certain flavor profiles and stuff like that of particular cigars, and we kind of come up with this question of how do you describe a cigar's profile to a new smoker. And a lot of times, if somebody wants to bridge that gap, whether they smoke cigarettes or they smoke a pipe or stuff like that, I'll ask them that kind of stuff originally, just to kind of get an idea of, you know, what kind of nicotine levels they might be able to handle. And
yeah,
to me, I don't want to overcomplicate it in the beginning, because you see these ridiculous cigar aficionado reviews where they, you know, taste toasted coconut with honey and beeswax or, you know, whatever. You know, I don't want to overcomplicate it like that. To me, in the earliest days, you've got to say, you know, it's either going to be middle of the road strength wise, or it's going to be over the top. It's going to give you that nicotine buzz, but mostly it's just, hey, look for various spices that you might recognize. Look for pepper. You should get a pepper. And also,
Mark, that's a very good point. I was in a humor the other day, doing a little shopping on my own, and a couple of young guys came in and obviously didn't know what they were looking for. And, you know, my first question was, what are you looking for? Mild, medium, or full? And I got this perplexed look from both of them. It's like, basically, it didn't mean anything to them. So, yeah, the idea of being able to put more description in these kind of things is a good idea.
Well, that's why I think I brought it up. I was talking to a coworker.
Oh, you brought it up? It's a lousy idea.
Well, I put it in actually before, because this happened tonight.
He had to get that little dig in there, like, I brought it up. Like, who gives a shit who brought it up?
No.
Hey, he's got to feel important.
Yeah, to make a contribution.
Okay, you can have this one thing. This one thing.
First, you blame me for making the agenda, and then you blame me for making the agenda. So the agenda, so the question, okay, is because I had a coworker actually earlier tonight ask me if I was describing, you know, because you guys worked in cigar lounges and shops. So someone comes in, I don't know anything about it, and they just want to start learning. Like, what are the first sort of discovery questions? You know, to your point, Jared, like if you just start saying, do you want mild, medium, or full, they, you know, they may not know. So if you're saying, okay, this is what the experience is going to be like and what to expect, how do you prepare them for that?
Well, in that case, what I did exactly was what you guys were talking about. I talked to them about the amount of nicotine content and the power that it gives. And then I sort of went into talking about the basic wrappers and what kind of flavor profile you might expect, okay? Mm-hmm.
And something that'll help lay the groundwork there is to know what they like to drink. You know, do they drink black coffee? Do they drink beer? Do they drink wine, alcohol? That can give you a kind of a idea into what tolerances they have for a strength of a cigar.
Right.
So if I was going to say as an example, if I've said, okay, I like red wine or something, is there a certain, would that guide you to a certain type of cigar or a brand or something like that, that's what they typically like to drink?
I would actually, somebody that likes wine, especially a red wine, I would probably go with a kind of medium and either a Habano or a Maduro.
Right. I was thinking Maduro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the characteristics of like the red wine, sort of the, maybe, I don't know about spice, but in, you know, in wine terms, that sort of medium bodied characteristic of the wine you think would pair well with a medium bodied or Habano Maduro smoke.
Right.
I think that's where the pairing would come into play.
Yeah.
Right.
Again, what I would usually do is ask them after the mild, medium, or full question. I don't talk a little bit about wrappers and try to get an idea of what they like before I ever start talking about brands, you know?
Because the brand, you could throw brands out there all day long, but if they don't know what any of the brands are, they don't know what that means.
And one of the most common conceptions too is the fact that people believe the darker it is, the stronger it's going to be.
How many times do you have to debunk that theory to somebody?
Often, yeah.
Often.
Well, there is one lesson they should learn before everything else, and that is take them to the Gurkha display and just say no.
That's true.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you slap your hand.
Look away.
Turn that shit off. don't do that. They're gonna say why. You know what? Don't worry about it. Just fucking ignore it. Just don't look at it.
We're less than 5 minutes in, and we're there already.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some things never change.
I'm obsessed with this group.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with taking them down.
It's a continuity of hate.
Yeah.
Right now, it's going very poorly. They're very rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I still think they're terrible.
But yeah, let me try to put this back on track here. But yeah, the darker wrapper thing is such a weird thing. Kind of like Jerry said, they just assume it's going to knock your socks off. But you can have a Connecticut that's packed with a Harrow. And
that's why I will explain to people about that. You know, you can have a Connecticut that knock your socks off, and you can have a Maduro that just be as sweet as all get out, you know?
Looks more menacing. When you see a darker wrapper, it looks more intimidating.
Would be the original nubs, the four original nubs, the Connecticut, the Cameroon, the Habano, and the Maduro. The only thing different about those four is the wrapper. The binder fillers are the exact same.
Right. And, you know, if you're talking about somebody who's a real rookie, I always explain to them that the Connecticuts are the most popular wrapper in this country, you know, because it's a good beginning place to start for starters. Hello.
Yeah. No, I'm actually... It does make it, well, as far as like smaller, I've had friends in there, they say they don't want larger cigars. They want to start small because they don't want to sit for an hour and a half to 2 hours. So you get them like a little, you know, Corona, Petite Corona, something. Okay, this is just sort of an intro into the experience. And then if they start to go in the flow with it, then you might go into a larger cigar, maybe a Robusto, maybe, you know, a dark, you know, a more medium to full body wrapper, stuff like that. But it's just as far as getting that introduction, like, okay, this is what you could experience. This is the idea. And then let them go from there.
But getting back to the idea about the profile too, though, you know, it's good to be as descriptive as you can about what you're going to find for what kind of wrapper, you know. Like, of course, in Maduro, you're going to pick up coffee and chocolate and that kind of thing, you know.
And I think you guys say this by default, because the first instincts is like the majority of other products out there, cigarettes and things like that, the first thing you're going to want to do is inhale into the lungs.
Yeah.
It, very clearly, you don't do that with cigars. You just, it's in the mouth and then out. But if they say, oh, it's just like a cigarette, and they try to inhale, they're going to get violently ill and they're going to think that's what it's all about.
Yeah. I always tell them you'll do it once. You know?
Yeah.
You will learn that lesson the hard way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Quickly.
Yeah, like Joe did down there that night. Tuscaloosa, well, or wherever we were.
In fairness, the person in question was a pot smoker, and they're all about, you know, getting it in the lungs and keeping it there, kind of thing.
Oh, he couldn't. And he didn't separate the two.
No.
And we introduced him to cigars, and it was not good.
No, he was.
Wow,
that's not gone well.
In fact, I think he all around he had a pretty rough night that night.
I bet. Oh.
Let me ask you this:
Would you think about maybe trying to keep them around the most popular ones, like the Connecticut, the Habano, and the Maduro? Because those are all popular, you know, wrappers. You start getting off into Cameroon and some other things. The taste is different, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Cameroons and Sumatras and stuff like that—they're good.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's getting in the weeds a little bit.
Right, and you know, all I'm looking at is probably the three most popular wrappers in this country. I know the Connecticut's first, you know. Then you get all the stuff like Connecticut Shade Grown and stuff like that. And just
keep it those three because they're the perfect like mild, medium.
Keep it basic,
strong.
Right, and I completely agree with you on small sizes. Corona is a good place to start.
Yeah, I wouldn't give anybody starting out anything bigger than a Robusto.
Yeah, and I also explained to them about the Corona is the fact that that is the vitola by which most blends are made. You know, when you're testing cigars in a factory, it will almost always be a Corona.
Is it because of you get more wrapper because it's a smaller gauge? It's just quicker to light and smoke? You get most of the flavor?
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big part of it, especially probably the wrapper size, you know? But I'm a Corona guy anyway. I like Coronas.
Yeah, I like Coronas as well, just because they're just, to me, the right amount of time.
Right.
You know, half hour to an hour.
And again, you know, theoretically, you have a larger percentage of wrapper, so it should give you more flavor.
Yep. So that's a good little bit about, you know, new smokers and what to potentially introduce them to. Ben also brought up the topic of smoking cigars in vehicles. Are we yay, nay, or do we care? I know personally, yes. I was going to say I do smoke in my vehicle. If people don't like it, they don't really have to ride with me anywhere. They can take their own car. So, I mean, I look at it plain and simple. Whether you do or you don't, it's your car. You can do what you want to with it.
I assure you, it saves lives every day because I smoke cigars in my vehicle.
Wow. Saves lives.
These idiots I'm on the road with, absolutely. It saves lives.
Yeah. You need that stress relief less, so it calms you down without getting out punching the driver in the head.
Well.
Well, that was the nicer thoughts, but okay.
I'm civil.
Senior, it's a good thing anyway, because we're getting too old to kind of chase bound, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Especially me.
Well, you're a boxer, so you stay away from me.
I'll see you.
Ben has learned that lesson the hard way.
Jerry's the godfather.
I'll see you. So, well, this whole thing about smoking bans and vehicles, I made some notes here. Guys want to talk about that a little more.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of businesses and things like that that'll say, you know, no smoking in our vehicles and things like that.
Well, I tell you what, it's kind of interesting. I'm going to give you a little bit of background about smoking bans, and then we'll get right into that, okay, because all this kind of gathered. This stuff really started back in the 50s when they started looking at starting doing studies about the link between enclosed places and cancer. which I kind of thought that was ironic because, you know, in World War II, we sent millions of cigarettes over to the troops in World War II. So, you know, we first of all made sure they got hooked and then tried to figure out some way to deal with it, I guess. But
okay.
One thing was interesting, though, I found out while in my research here was cigars were considered as classified as an essential product in World War II.
An essential product.
Essential product. Cigars were. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
But anyway, these early studies, they really referred to it as environmental tobacco smoke. And one of the statistics that came out of that that really drove this whole smoking ban thing is the fact that there was a claim in one newspaper that secondhand smoke within a vehicle is 23 times more toxic than when it's in a not enclosed area. So interesting part about that was I found out there was absolutely no scientific proof to that. It's just a number that somebody made up and it took life. So, but anyway, public opinion, of course, grew against smoking for a lot of reasons, especially the connection to cancer. And of course, our good friends in 1995 in California enacted the first smoking ban for closed places. Okay. And the way that's grown now, and I'm just throwing some numbers out here because I found it very interesting. Now, because of that start, 82% of the population of this country now is under some type of smoking ban. Okay. And then in 2007, our good friends in California initiated the first smoking ban in vehicles. And now we have 29 states that have those smoking bans. So what I did find out about it that was kind of eye-opening for me is because I've always heard smoking ban, you can't smoke in your car, period, right? Well, I sort of surveyed all of these smoking bans in vehicles in different states. And pretty much what it comes down to, that is generally prohibited to smoke in any kind of a company vehicle, anything like that, a company-owned vehicle. But this is what I found really interesting. Smoking is prohibited when you have a passenger in your vehicle who's a minor. If you do not have if you don't have a minor in your car, you can smoke under state law. That's the way it is. Hello? That's the way you understand it? That was a surprise to me because everything I always heard was, ooh, bad smoke, smoking ban, you can't smoke, you know?
So if you don't have a child in the car, then you can. Because I see in Florida here all the time, they only smoke when there's children in the car.
Right. Yeah.
They exclusively wait to get children in the car and then light up. That's how Florida works.
I have to admit, I did not peruse all 29 state laws, but I did go through a few of them. And all of them are basically the same thing. It's a company vehicle, no smoke. If you have a minor in your vehicle, yeah, you can't smoke. If the minor's not in your car, you can smoke. Now, that to me was a revelation. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think so. But it's good in that sense that it's written this way because, I mean, you're in your own car.
Right.
Who gives a shit what you do in your car? Same thing with what's going on inside my house.
That's one of the issues, too, with some people brought up the fact that it's kind of an overreach to use government enforcements for health issues. But then again, how many other examples we got, you know? But honestly, I thought it was kind of an even-handed law. I expect it to be much more stringent than that. Now, a couple of the other issues that came up along with the cancer link was the fact that they were talking about smoking in cars was a driver safety problem because we're constantly fumbling around with, you know, lighters and that kind of thing. And also wildfires. Believe it or not, what I did read here was that 16% of wildfires are actually caused by smokers.
That honestly doesn't surprise me because there's a lot of trashy smokers, for lack of a better term.
Right. And also, several laws, if you have a convertible, have a top mount, go at it. It's all yours. I found that
because it's not an enclosed space.
Right.
It's an open space.
Exactly. So actually, a community up in the Hamptons actually tried to pass a law where you couldn't smoke in an open convertible. And basically all hell broke loose in Hamptons. That didn't last too long. So,
rightfully so.
Honestly, again, I feel like the law is a little more even-handed than I really expected because, again, from my understanding was when it's a smoking ban in vehicles, it means you can't smoke. But honestly, the laws I looked at, and I did take the time to look at several, it's basically the same thing. Company vehicle, you can't smoke. Your vehicle, if you don't have a minor in it, it's cool.
That's actually kind of fair.
Yeah.
Realistically, you don't want to ruin company property and you can't hurt children. So. Yeah.
Well, okay. I think we all have come to the realization that smoking in a confined space is not going to be a good thing because smoking there is a link to cancel. We all understand, right?
Yeah.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to smoke in my car with anybody who's going to object to it. And I'm certainly not going to smoke in my car with a kid. So, yeah, you're right. To me, it's kind of an even-handed law. Considering Arsenal more people did that, it's kind of amazing. Okay. But,
the but I mean, all these.
Go ahead.
Realistically, like, you shouldn't be smoking in a car with a small child anyway.
No, that's the same
stance as, you know, drinking while you're pregnant. You know, there's just certain things you shouldn't do.
The whole thing's pretty even-handed, actually. I'm really shocked that somebody in our government would have done that, but that's what I'm finding. Now, the fines run between, in the States, runs between $20, $25, and $250.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, and I imagine California's probably $250, so.
No, oh, yeah, you know that's they're going to go for it.
They need to just secede, you know, off the U.S. and just be their own island in their own country.
Yeah.
Just be its own thing, be on fire, be like a good neighbor, stay over there and just go away, you know, go have your unbelievable tax laws and your weird.
Yeah, and it seems like so many states are eager to follow California as an example. And, you know, look what's going on in that state. All things basically fall apart in 10 different ways. And still, we still look at as leader in the country, which is kind of foolish in my opinion. But anyway, that's what I found out about it. And it could be worse, fellas. I did find out that in 1575, Pope Urban VII banned smoking and would excommunicate anybody who did smoke. So, I mean, if you smoke, you burn in hell. And then in 1633, Ottoman Sultan Murad IV had smokers executed. So we're getting by pretty easy.
Yeah, we're bringing the punishments. We just keep knocking them down.
Yeah, we're getting there. But the most prominent non-smoking proponent of the 20th century was Adolf Hitler.
He was against smoking.
Yes,
that might have been the only good stance he had.
Well, listen, I'm not going to make you joke about smoking in ovens and stuff. I'm not going to do that. Okay, you know
he was a shitty painter.
Yeah, right. That too. So, but yeah, he was vehemently opposed to smoking. So I guess we're getting off pretty easy all along, fellas.
Wow, his attention to environmental health.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Yes.
All right.
One thing I do want to mention to you before we move on, I was telling Junior about this. You know, we made the trip out west back in the spring, and actually in San Francisco now there's one place that you can smoke inside legally in the entire city.
A bar, I'm guessing.
It's a cigar lounge. It got grandfathered in. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's about the size of, I don't know.
Your kitchen?
A little bigger than that. That's about it. The cigars out there, Casa Cuba, Fuente Cigars, that's one of my favorites, which is $10 here, was $23 out there.
Jesus Christ.
But there's one place, and I understand from talking to the guy, there's actually two places in the entire city, or the entire state now, California, where you can smoke legally.
Two places.
That's now, wild. You want to hear some irony? Pier 39, you know, the entire epicenter of tourism there in that area down there?
Yes.
I sat down there and smoked a cigar, and nobody even looked at me. Cops walked by me, nobody.
Surprising.
I was expecting by the time I lit it, the SWAT team would be going, you know, put the cigar down, get on the ground, you know.
So they didn't really care?
No. No, I was a shock. Well, actually, what prompted me to do that was each one of the trash receptacles actually had an ashtray on top of it.
But you were the Antichrist.
Yeah, I was.
You know, you're talking about historical people getting punished. They arrested Christopher Columbus's shipmate, and they put him in prison for 6 years because he blew smoke out of his nose. They thought it was demonic.
Yeah. I know people probably still think it's demonic.
Yeah, and it's just I'd like to believe that there's just bigger problems to worry about than adults smoking cigars, but somehow this is still sort of bubbling around, which is sort of going to lead into one of our next topics here. But it's just the FDA is still trying to grab its claws in, and they're losing that grip, but they keep digging in, trying to include the tobacco cigars, and judgment is like, no, it's not the same. Well, stop doing, you know.
One comment I want to make before we go into that is this country, in my opinion, is running rampant for towards socialism. So these kind of government controls are just going to get bigger.
Yeah.
But so far, the law we have, fellas, is not quite that bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm having a cigar, and there's no SWAT team here.
What's your address?
It's 1.
What county do you live in? I know people down there.
You don't know people where I live. I live 2 miles from a prison work farm. Trust me, you don't know anybody here. And if you do, I'm sorry.
You're more likely to know some of my people in that scenario.
It may be. There's a Walmart. Yeah. There's a Spin City Laundry. A lot of ghetto. That's in this area. Oh, I think they heard me. Whatever.
Well, anyway. Well,
thanks for being here, Ben. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
By your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I just want to say that we're recording this at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. And we're doing it so late because our resident diva, Ben, was like, oh, I have something to do.
I did, and I didn't do it to do this.
And then,
Junior, he had to wash his hair.
Yeah, apparently.
No. Everything worked out. It was cool. Everything's cool.
I just want the 4 people that listen to this to know that the 3 of us, we turned our entire schedules upside down just to accommodate Ben.
I'd like to believe that the guilt trip is longer than you're making it, but I have a feeling. Well, I know why Senior, because he had a flat tire. He has a legitimate reason for a delay. You don't do much, and Jerry's retired. So Ben, I sort of pieced it together. I thought it would be okay.
Ben, at my age, every hour counts, okay?
Okay. Every hour it's counts.
True. You owe him an hour of extreme happiness now to balance that out.
Okay. Yes, put it on my tab. Okay.
Take him to Disney World.
Oh God, he doesn't want to go. No, it's too hot.
Yeah, take me to more city. That'll work.
That would be more.
Oh yeah, Ybor anyway. City. That's a lot more fun. Yeah, we should go to the Grand Cathedral.
Yep, been there, done that.
Oh.
So anyway, FDA regulations, Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. So, a couple of articles that obviously you found one through Cigar Aficionado, but basically it was Judge Mehta is again in favor of the cigar industry. And so basically what the article is saying is that, you know, Judge Mehta basically said this quote, because the agency's statement that, quote unquote, all cigars produce toxic smoke is exactly the sort of non-responsive circular reasoning the court faulted previously. So they brought it up again. He's like, no, it still doesn't make sense. Now, the president of the Leva Cigar Company said this is everything we dreamed of, because they're basically helping to be excluded from or being exempted from these FDA laws. However, it could just be too hype too quickly. You know, it's like, okay, so now we're in the clear. I don't think the cigar industry is in the clear. It looks like there's still some support, but I don't think we're just going to be off scot-free and everybody's going to leave us alone the way it used to be. But I wanted to at least get your opinions. I mean, having this in our corner is very helpful, but we can't rely on Judge Mehta to just simply give the cigar industry everything it wants and needs. I think there's still going to be some regulations involved, even if it's a little more lax, but it's not going to be an open floor.
Yeah.
What do you guys, go ahead.
The first common sense ruling is what I would call it in this whole situation, is the judge is looking at it sensibly, saying, hey, there's no real evidence that, you know, cigars are, you know, doing naughty, devilish things, and you know,
that's what you love,
very different from from cigarettes. So it's one of those situations where, you know, maybe somebody sees the light.
Well, and also, if you remember, Mark, we talked about this on a previous podcast, how like the CRA, everybody, you know, they're always advertising and they're getting funding. We always want to know. We don't usually see the results. You know, it's like we keep donating them, but every time we were watching the news up until recently, it was always that, you know, the cigar industry was losing. We've got all these, you know, I forgot what that substantial equivalents and things like that, we were losing. Well, now the trifecta of the CRA, the PCA, and the CAA all joint filed, sued the FDA in the beginning of 2021, which challenged the FDA's rejection of an exemption for premium cigars from FDA oversight. So maybe that support, we didn't see it in the beginning, but it could be where there's apparently some sort of legal foothold here that gives enough support to sway the judge. And I actually don't know if Judge Mehta is a cigar smoker. I have a feeling if that was true, somebody would have brought it up, or you're just favoring your friends. But no one's brought that up. So if he's not a cigar smoker, that would actually be more beneficial because it would hold more relevance rather than favoritism. But there is some support in this legal battle against the FDA to leave cigar smokers alone. But if they want to go after cigarettes and all that shit, you know, that's between them and big tobacco. But for cigars, and, you know, another thing that kind of brings this up is there's a claim that, you know, during the lawsuit that we are still like a cottage industry. And have you even heard Rocky Patel say that? No. I'm not sure it's a cottage industry anymore. I mean, it's not the size of cigarette smokers as far as a base, but it's not a small industry anymore. It's not a microbrewery anymore. It's kind of a, you know, it's got some substance in the U.S. But I get your opinions on it.
Well, first of all, I was a little mildly surprised and pleased that this current administration didn't get really aggressive about all that again.
Okay. So yeah. You're saying that it wasn't doing enough, or that it was?
Well, I just expected a Democratic administration to sort of resurrect this whole thing again, and it doesn't really seem like there's a big push there anymore. You know? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, it sort of went dormant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I expected more.
It's like there were...
Of course, I didn't want to see it, but that's what I was expecting.
Yeah, I mean, there were several years where they were just gung-ho. You know, there were 4 stories about it a week. You know, this new thing that the FDA is going to try to do, or the restrictions they're going to try to put in place.
Well, if we all remember in 2016, remember when they came down with option 1 and they're like, all tobacco is just, they're going to stock cut it right at the base and just kill all tobacco across the board in one shot. And we thought that's what was going to happen.
Right, tobacco.
Yeah, there's been some changes on it, but it didn't come across as this giant swing where it's just all gone, off the shelf, done. It wasn't like that. And maybe the delay is because there was filing so much legislation and bullshit paperwork where there was nothing to be done because everybody was just writing a bunch of documents, countering back and forth. And it just sat what we thought was dormant. It was just lawyers writing up their stuff in multi-gig size emails. So I don't know, but it was like all this gung ho. It's like, no, you're wrong. And you're wrong. Okay. Well, I'm going to write a 1,000-page document, or I'm going to write a 2,000-page document. It just came, maybe just, that's why it sounded dormant, because we didn't know what the hell was being going on in the background. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have some legal support and breath. Like, thank God somebody speak. You know, like Mark, what you said, it's common sense. It's like, yeah, you know, that doesn't make sense, or it does make sense.
Ben, you're a lot more open than I am right now. Is there still a movement toward trying to separate premium cigars from flavored cigars?
Yeah, to a degree, because there's still, the FDA is still going after. Because the idea is that the flavored cigarillos and Juul, and they kind of put them all together, that the flavorings is what's attracting minors, are attracting young adults and getting started on, like, you know, it's got the sweet flavor to it. And premium cigars, for the most part, no. But when you infuse it with a sweet flavor, it's leaning in that direction. Oh, it's a sweet infused thing. It's not a natural product. So I think they're still trying to fight on that front to say, oh, well, you're sweetening them, you're flavoring them, you know, it's any little avenue the FDA can get to say, ah, you see, you're attracting children, and they're not. 9-year-olds aren't buying Cuba Cubas. They're just not. They don't know what it is, and they're not doing it. But the FDA actually did a scientific study on premium cigars, and I'll give you some of the points that the FDA did trying to prove the point. They said that the health risks of handmade cigar smoking are less likely than those smoking other types of cigars, because most premium cigars are smoked non-daily or occasional smokers and less apt to inhale the smoke. But Okay, true. We've been saying that for years, but that's fine. They even said this. Only 1% of the adult population smokes premium cigars, and very few youths smoke them. They said, quote, premium cigar use is less common among youth, and only 0.6% of those who reported smoking a premium cigar brand in the last 30 days were under the age of 18.
I remember seeing that statistic. You guys, did that number 1% surprise you?
No. Like, I thought that was high. I thought that was a high number. Like, oh, okay, really?
Mark, what do you think?
To something that Ben just stated, you know, under the age of 18. Okay, why not just enforce the rules you have in place and laws you have in place? You can't buy them till you're 19, so... You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're under 18, you know, and you're more than likely not going for premium. It's extremely rare. They want cigarettes. They want Juul. They want that sweet, quick nicotine fix. You know, they don't want an Arturo Puente.
Right.
That's not what youths are going after. That's not it's expensive to them, and they're not going to do that. Yeah. You know, and then there's other points here as far as and they're going into like the chemical composition standpoint and the health. They're getting all legislative about it. And basically, because of these points, that's why Judge May is like, look, the cigar company people have been saying this for years. You're discovering that it believes this. You just believe what they say. There's fact, there's statistics, there's reports, there's research studies that show that kids aren't smoking premium cigars. And the ones that do, it's what they have, you know, only they do it occasionally or once in a while. It's not an addictive sort of the way cigarettes are. You know, you chain smoke one after the other and you develop all the tar and all that. It's not like that. And I think they're finally starting to make a point like, yay, cigar industry's been saying this for years, and CRA and CAA and all that. Yeah, we don't inhale. We don't sell to children. It's just a thing. It's like drinking wine or, you know, a glass of Jack Daniels or whatever. It's just an occasional thing to relax. And that's what adults do. Doesn't bother anyone. We're not hurting children. We're not going to school grounds and doing this. Leave us alone. I think it's taking time to carve this section out because it involves the word tobacco, which is Satan, and say, yes, it's tobacco, but it's not the tobacco that is actually hurting people. You know, it's not, it's different. It's hard for the FDA to say, oh, there's different tobacco. Yeah, you know, there is. It's a different lifestyle.
Well, from FDA talk, we'll finish it out on a weird one. This comes out of Fox 8 from Memphis, Tennessee. A woman who ordered a box of cigars from Thompson Cigar Company that were shipped from their fulfillment center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. She got it on July 27th. She opened the box, and there were 100 Shelby County, Tennessee license plates in the box and no cigars. So somehow...
Can't make this shit up.
Yeah, there was obviously some box switching or something going on at the FedEx factory or some label switching or something. But
in Roy's cigar business now or what?
I don't know. Thompson's making money on the side or something. I don't know. There's a side hustle there we don't know about. Yeah. They're chopping cars.
The residents of Shelby County have been waiting, what we're told, exorbitant amounts of time to get their license plates. So,
how the hell did it wind up from Pennsylvania?
That's obviously like somebody switched boxes or something in the warehouse, and one went here and one went there. Or they got the FedEx label swapped or something. I don't know.
To the DMV and said, "I have all of these angry people's plates. Please give them to them." Is that what happened?
She turned it over to the county. And
I don't know what your postal service is like around where you guys wrap. Around here, it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. Stuff goes in and it's never seen again.
It just disappears into the wind.
I've had bills, utility bills I paid. They never got there. All kinds of weird things going on.
Are you registering your car in Shelby County, Tennessee?
Yeah. So maybe people will get... Now... The part that pissed me off, they didn't say what happened to the cigars. I just wanted to know where the cigars were.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, it's not somebody down. Where the hell is...
Yeah, somebody down at the DMV racked up. They're like, oh, cool. Somebody sent your boxes together.
they ordered the plates. They're like, ooh, sweet. Arturo Fuentes. Like, where's my plates?
Nice.
We can always depend on Junior because he's all on point. He just goes right to the net.
So what happened to the smokes?
You know. Yeah, I mean, and they didn't give any indication to what the smokes were. I would have been curious. You know, if I were a journalist, these are the kind of facts that I would be looking for.
You should email that newspaper that wrote that and just said, listen, can you at least tell me about the cigars? I don't give a shit about the place. Just tell me, what did she order? You know, how many did she order? I'm curious about, and did they replenish her? Did they send her what she needed?
Yeah, did she finally get those cigars? Did she get
the cigars? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, this is a human interest story. This is not a United States Postal Service story.
Right. If the answer comes back, Gurkha, just say, never mind.
Yeah,
fuck yeah, forget the whole thing.
Now, do we know how old, I mean, to ask, is this an older woman?
Did not mention her specifics. There's only a picture of her hands. She has youngish looking hands, if that gives you any indication about her.
What? Man, what do you want? Some old hag that got lights a place or what? What do you want?
I don't know. Listen, I'm not judging. I'm not ageist here. I'm just saying, you know, if this was an elderly woman who likes to smoke cigars and live her life, I was going to support her. That's what I was going to do.
I think I'm offended for the entire senior citizens community.
Well, charge up your scooter and get down here or whatever. Just get on Denton. On. Time to be mad.
I'm over it.
Yeah. Okay. We're past it. We're done.
Yep.
Well, like I said, it's been a year, but we did it again. What it is, I don't entirely know, but for everybody, we'll see you in a few weeks.
Bye.
This is the Cigar Tipsters Podcast.